First Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. If you have that, say amen. All right. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Paul spent about 3 years in the church of Ephesus. And at the end of that time, he felt led to give it over to his young apprentice, Timothy. How many of you know that sometimes the worst problems you deal with are church problems? And the church of Ephesus had a lot of problems, and the problems didn't leave even though Paul had left. And so Timothy was there, and he had a lot to deal with. He had to deal with false teachers. He had to deal with false doctrines. He had to deal with disorder in worship. Not only that, he had to worry about training leaders in the church. He had to worry about materialism. And if that wasn't enough, we find when we study Scripture that they thought that he was too young to be the leader of the church of Ephesus. Because you'll find that in Paul's second letter to Timothy, he made this statement. He said, let no man despise thy youth. He said, you're there for a reason. The gift of God is in you. It was transferred down from your grandmother and your mother. I know it's in there. Just stir up the gift that's in you, and I promise God will be with you. And so here he is. He's trying to encourage him in these letters. And he was saying here in the text that I read to you, he was giving him a testimony. And there's something about Paul. And I've mentioned this earlier in a past message there on I Am Persuaded. But a lot of times Paul, when he was dealing with people, chose to share his testimony or his story. And I mentioned there with King Agrippa, he shared his testimony. But not only did he do it with those, but he did it with his closest followers and closest friends. Basically what he was saying was, and this is the title of my message tonight, he was saying, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He was saying, Timothy, you're going to face battles. You're going to face persecution. You're going to face hard times. But if the Lord was with me, and if I could just get to you, look at what he's done for my life. Thank God you can make it through it and know it, that on the other side, God will be faithful and he will be with you all the way to the end. And so here he is in verses 12 through 17, giving him a testimony. And this was it. Look what the Lord has done. And really, when you talk about a testimony, when you're talking about your testimony, a lot of times our testimony is a lot about what used to be. And you better be thankful tonight that you are not what you used to be. How many of you are thankful for that? How many of you are glad tonight that you are not what you used to be? And Paul was giving this list of things that he used to be. And all of us here have a different testimony. Some of you have wonderful testimonies of how God brought you out of drug addiction, how God brought you out of alcoholism, how God brought you from terrible situations. But yet some of you have testimonies like myself that were raised in good Christian home, but yet you still needed a Savior. And for many years, I struggled with it. And I know I've shared this with you before. When people would give up, and I would go to churches, and people would have special services where men and women would get up and give their testament about how God delivered them from such awful circumstances. And I would look at their life, and I would think, wow, what a great testimony. And I would sit in my seat thinking, Lord, I don't have a testimony like that. And then I got to thinking, boy, it would be great to have a testimony like that. But then the Lord quickly reminded me, you don't know what they had to go through to get that testimony. And then he quickly reminded me again, the same grace that brought them out of all that mess was the same grace that kept you from getting into that mess. So thank God tonight, we do have a testimony. It may all be different, but thank God it's your story, and no one can tell your testimony like you can. They can. And believe me, I've heard some testimonies, and I've heard some of your testimonies, and I could probably repeat them as well as you can, but it still doesn't, it isn't the same as you telling it for yourself. There are some people in here that you've been through some things, and you do have a testimony. Some of you thought you'd never ever sing again, but thank God now you can stand and say, the Lord hath put a new song in my mouth and in my heart. Some of you thought you'd never stop crying again, but now you can stand and testify, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. I feel the Lord tonight. How about you? I'm thankful that we have a testimony, and the testimony is this: look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. And no one can tell a testimony like you can tell a testimony. In fact, the only testimony that mounts in a court of law is an eyewitness account. And Calvary sings a song a lot with our choir. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. And I'm thankful for my testimony. I'm thankful that on September the 6th, 1981, I came as a five-year-old boy at Northmoreland Christian Baptist Church on the second verse, just as I am, because I said, Lord, if they sing that verse again, I'll go, because my heart was pounding out of my chest. I heard the message about hell, and I was scared to go to hell. And guess what they did? They sang that second verse again, and I just made my way out to an altar and gave my heart to Jesus. As Mike Bland says, I ain't always been what I should have been, but I ain't what I was. Thank God. Hallelujah. I knew that I needed a Savior. And some of you tonight, I'm thankful for your testimony, how it's been an influence in my life. But thank God, above all that, we can have a big header that would simply say, look what the Lord has done. That's what Paul was saying. He was saying, Timothy, look what the Lord has done. And he was giving him his personal testimony. He said, listen, you're going to face things like this. And when you do, just remember me. Remember what I went through. And if I can get through it, Timothy, you can get through it as well. Let's look at four things tonight real quickly in this text. First of all, he said, Timothy, look what the Lord has done for me when I was a sinner. When I was a sinner. Verse 13 says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. That word injurious simply means he was looking for trouble. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. It was awful the things that he had done. But let me submit to you tonight, and this is what he was meaning by this verse. He didn't know he was doing anything wrong. He thought he was right in what he was doing. And where there is no law, sin cannot be imputed. And so I've shared this over the years, and even more after studying this message. I'm praying more effectively for people because I'm praying that they get lost instead of get saved. Because simply there are people walking our streets today. They're in our colleges. They're in our schools. They're your neighbors. They're your friends. They're your family. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. And the only way Paul knew that he was doing something wrong was the fact that the light shone down on him on the Damascus Road. And when the Holy Spirit shines His light on you, it reveals the guilt. It reveals the shame. It reveals the sin. And he said, thank God, even though I didn't think I was doing wrong, hallelujah, God showed me mercy. God, I deserve death. I deserve hell. But thank God, He gave me mercy. And aren't you glad for mercy? You better be thankful for mercy. I'm not here by anything else except for mercy. I'm not here because I'm good. I'm here because I obtained mercy. I'm not here because I'm holy. I'm not here because I'm righteous. I'm not here because I'm wealthy. I'm not here because I'm poor. I'm not here because of my heritage. I'm not here because of my upbringing. I'm not here because I'm from Southern Ohio. I'm here because of one thing. Thank God I obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And think about it. Paul was responsible for most of the New Testament. And he said himself, I am the chief of all sinners. But once he realized that, once he realized he was wrong, thank God then mercy was right around the corner. And until we realize, until our family realizes they're lost without God, until our friends and our neighbors and our classmates realize that they need Jesus in their life, they cannot be saved. That's why I'm praying that the light of the Holy Spirit shone down in your heart tonight. Some of you sit in a pew, service after service, and you don't think you're doing anything wrong. You think everything's okay and you're on the way way to heaven. My friend, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you need to accept Him tonight. You are a sinner on your way to a devil's hell, but thank God you can obtain mercy. Glory to God. That's good preaching. I don't mean to go lengthy tonight, and I won't, but I need to share this. I love hearing people's testimonies, especially something like this, where God shines the light upon them and it reveals their sin. And I don't want to embarrass her for anything tonight, but I got to spend some time with Nate and Rochelle Wolf a few weeks ago. Heather had her the 20th year class reunion, and her and Nate Wolf graduated together. And so me and Rochelle was just along for the ride. And so we were there, and we were talking about some things. And I recently gave the challenge here. I said, some of you, I don't know your testimony. And so since that time, a lot of people have come up and told me how they've been saved. And so Rochelle, I'll briefly tell this because it's her personal testimony. But Michelle was raised in the Catholic Church, and she met Nate. And it was the best day of her life, right, Nate? He's shaking his head back there. But Rochelle, and she would tell you this, and she would tell me, she didn't think anything was wrong. But she prayed a prayer one day, even before she met Nate. And if I get this wrong, Rochelle, I apologize. But before she even met Nate, she prayed to the Lord sincerely, Lord, I want to get closer to You. And she meant it with all of her heart. And after that, she soon met Nate. Of course, Nate's from this area. Good Christian family. Good Christian home. And so, little by little, Rochelle was exposed to the gospel. And exposed to Jesus Christ in a way that she had never experienced before. And so one day, after praying that prayer, and I don't know how long the time frame was. But this was still a burden of her heart. Lord, I want to get closer to You. I want to draw closer to You. She went, if I'm not mistaken, she was working one day and went on her lunch break to a Catholic Mass. I'm sure like she did so many times before. And as she was sitting there in the pews and they were having Mass, she looked up and saw the cross. And she said, a light bulb went off in my heart and in my mind. And she said, I looked at the cross, and for the first time in my life, I realized just exactly what Jesus did for me. And she said, right then and there, at a Catholic Mass, God changed my life forever. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can show up anywhere if you allow Him to do that. But thank God, see, Rochelle didn't think she was doing anything wrong, but until the light of the cross shone down in her heart, and then she realized exactly what Jesus Christ did. Thank God she was changed, a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the same thing can happen to you tonight. You may think you're doing right, but I got news for you. If you haven't accepted Him, thank God you don't appreciate what Jesus Christ did for you. Do you realize He loves you? Do you realize He gave His life just for you? And thank God if you come here tonight, and if you come to this altar and accept Him, you can walk out of here with a new testimony, and this is it. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Glory to God. He obtained mercy. He obtained mercy. Secondly, He said, Timothy, look what the Lord has done for me as a saint. Verse 14 says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This same Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He was saying, after we're saved, the slate is wiped clean. But we find also from Paul's writings that even though we are saved, he says in Romans 12 that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holding set one to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's an ongoing process. After we're saved, we continue to grow closer to Him. And thank God Jesus Christ is there to help us when we turn our lives over to Him and when we try to live for Him. He said, Timothy, I'm trying to tell you, it's going to be hard to live right. But thank God Jesus Christ, the same sacrifice that saved you because of His death, His burial and resurrection, it's the same grace that can keep you. He wrote in one book, he said, I prayed that the Lord would remove this thorn in my flesh. And many people say, our pastor preached years ago what the thorn in the flesh was. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And doesn't it feel like that way sometimes? We get up some days and it's like the devil's punching us right in the face. And he said, Lord, I want it removed. I want it out of here. And he prayed three times and the Lord said, no, I'm not going to remove it. I'm just going to add something to it. He said, I'm not going to take it away, Paul, but I'm going to add grace so you can endure it. And aren't you glad tonight that, yes, we are saved. Look what the Lord has done. But thank God we can stand and testify tonight. After we've been saved, He's been faithful. He's been good. He's been a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's never left us. He's never forsook us. Look what the Lord has done. Well, hallelujah, glory to God. Woo, glory to God. Some of y'all need to wake up. Aren't you glad that His grace is sufficient? Woo! That feels good tonight. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that His grace, His mercies are new every morning? Woo, glory to God. Woo. Look what the Lord has done for me, Timothy, as a saint. He's taken care of me. Hallelujah. He's provided every need according to His riches and glory. Woo! There's no temptation taking you, Timothy, that such is common to man. But God will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Aren't you glad for His grace tonight? Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God, sitting there like a bump on a log. Come on, people. Bunch of spoiled brats. Y'all just go with us around some of these dead churches. I'm telling you to appreciate what you got here. Amen. Thank you, David. Well, look what He's done for me as a saint. Thirdly, look what He's done for me, Timothy, as a servant. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, it's interesting the way He put it there. He didn't say He called me to the ministry. He said He put me into the ministry. What? That's amazing. You know what? I think about that? I don't think it was Paul's desire when he started out his life that he would be a preacher, that he would go out and change the world. I don't think it was his desire to be in the ministry. But sometimes our desires don't match up what God has for us. But if we're willing to be faithful, He said, I was faithful and He put me where I needed to be. But He was a servant. He said, I don't have Timothy. I can imagine subliminally, He said, Timothy, we have to realize we're doing this not by our own strength, but by the power that's within us. And that's why I'll mention, that's why He said, Timothy, the gift is in you. The ministry is in you. The Spirit is in you. And times it'll get stagnant. Sometimes you'll get burdened down. But just stir it up, Timothy. Just stir it up. It's there. I know it's there. Just stir it up. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more wonderful. There's nothing greater in my life than to be a servant for Him. A servant for Him means I can be a servant to you. That means I can be a servant to His people. And servant to my family and servant to my wife. That's what God's called me to do, is to be a servant. All of us can't preach. All of us can't sing. And please, if you can't, don't. Please don't. Please. And if you don't know if you can or not, I'll meet with you privately and we'll pray about it. Some of us can't be up front and do what others do. But every one of you can be a servant. I know it's already been said, but we've got opportunities from now till the end of the year to be servants to people all over this community and all over this country. And if you've asked yourself, wonder what I can do at Rubyville, what can I do? You can be a servant. And you can just keep your ear open, look at the bulletin, pay attention. There'll be an opportunity for you to serve someone or somebody or something. And the thing about it is, Dave, I was reading the other day, whenever we get to heaven, Paul, this is an accounting term, what Paul said here. He counted me faithful. He said, if I was faithful, he put faithfulness into my account. And one day when I get to heaven, he said, I'll draw that deposit out. And when we get to heaven, you know what Jesus will say? Well done, thou good and faithful preacher. No. Well done, thou good and faithful piano player. Sorry, Angie, no offense. Well done, thou good and faithful gospel singer. Sorry, Greg, no offense. Well done, thou good and faithful seamstress. Well done, thou good and faithful cook. Well done, thou good and faithful Sunday school teacher. Well done, thou good and faithful preacher, pastor. No. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. For you've been faithful over a few things, now I'll make you ruler over many. There's nothing greater. What are you depositing into heaven? I'd rather deposit faithfulness. That way when I get up there, I can draw it out and enter in into the joys of the Lord. Look what he's done for me as a servant, Timothy. Finally, I've got to hurry. Finally, he said, look what the Lord has done for me as a showpiece. I said, Brian, where are you getting that? In verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. Here it is, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. What was Paul saying? He said, Timothy, if you're willing to give your life over to him, I'm a living example and a testimony of what God can do with a life that is fully committed to him. He said, I am a pattern. He didn't say he was the template. Jesus is the template. Paul was the pattern. He said, but this pattern you can follow after me and you can see from me how God was long-suffering, and that he'll be faithful. And then what didn't Paul write himself, that he was to be conformed into the image of God? He said, I'm a workmanship. I'm being worked and molded into his hands. And he said, Timothy, I'm telling you, my life can be a pattern of how God is faithful. He's long-suffering, and he'll be with you all the way. And when the work is done, thank God he'll set you up as a showpiece to see, tell others, look what the Lord has done with you. That's why we do what we do, and that's why God does what he does in our lives, is for us to be a pattern so that when somebody else goes through what we're going through, we can say, look what the Lord has done. Some of you that have been through cancer, when others go through cancer, they can look at you. They can look at the Todd Pelfreys and the others, and I know there's many others that have went through cancer, Billy back there, that have went through cancer and have fought it and beat it, and God has been faithful. They can look to them and say, they can say, look what the Lord has done with me. He brought me through cancer. He can do it for you. Amen. Those of you who've been through marriage problems and think there's no way out, you can look back to Tom and Mindy back there, and they can say, look what the Lord has done. Those that have lost their job and had to rely on God and wait for him and trust him to bring them through. Whenever you go through it, you can look back to Jason Purcell and Jason can say, look what the Lord has done. When those of you that need your kids to be saved and you pray and you pray and you pray and you say, Brian, well, is there any hope? I can take you to dozens of parents in here that never gave up. And they saw their kids come down to an altar and say yes to Jesus. And they can testify, look what the Lord has done. Brian, can he take care of me? Yes. Can he take care of my sickness? Yes. Can he take care of my bills when I don't have enough money to pay him? Yes, as long as you tithe. Don't go be asking him for money if you don't tithe. Well, that wasn't in the notes, but that's good preaching. I'm telling you, he's faithful. And we are workmanship. We're our showpiece to say, look what the Lord has done. We can go through the scriptures, and I don't have time to do it. But we can go through the scriptures of showing time after time how God was faithful. But I don't even have to do that. I can go to each one of you tonight. Each one of you have your own story, your own testimony. But at the end of it, you would have to say, everyone say it with me. Look what the Lord has done. Say it again. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord. One more time. It just feels, look what the Lord has done.